Welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is one of my co-hosts, Alessandro Senator. How are you doing?
Doing all right, Kyle. I am doing all right.
Sorry, but that was quite an octave up there.
I try, Kyle. I try.
Yeah, you can tell how much effort was put by that.
Way too much.
Well, you know what? We needed to, because we got someone here who works so hard for Full Press Coverage. So much content. And he's been doing that longer than I've been with Full Press Coverage. So, paving the way for all of us. Ryan Adverterata, how you doing?
I am doing fine. I'm trying to stay out of the 115 degree heat right now in Arizona.
Ouch.
I'm Celsius, so like that context should tell me you should be on fire and like shouldn't be able to talk. But I roughly know Fahrenheit, and yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Okay, well, hopefully we can provide some fun here when you talk about the Cardinals. I don't know if that helps you cool off or gets your passions for the Cardinals going further. But we're trying to help.
Sorry, I was just doing the math in my head for Celsius to Fahrenheit. That's 239 degrees Fahrenheit. Oof.
Oh, if it was, yeah, yeah, if it was at 115 Celsius, yeah, yeah, that's, yeah. No, it's easy with Celsius. Zero is freezing, 100 is boiling point. Super simple. Get to the metric system, people. But anyway, I'm not going to judge anyone. Not going to make any imperial decisions here.
Oh, Kyle. Anyways. Let's talk D-Hop.
Somehow the Arizona Cardinals got DeAndre Hopkins. So before anything else, Ryan, what was your reaction when you heard that trade happened?
As a fan of football, it was exciting because he's going to an offense that is a real offense, especially with a lot of young talent already there. And he's going to an offensive coach who's just already seems like he's going to be a legitimate threat. For the next, few years. As someone who follows the Arizona Cardinals, it was a kind of shocking, actually, because, the immediate thought was, okay, well, there goes the first-round pick. And then when the news broke on what was actually part of the deal, it was, exuberance would probably be the word, because you didn't give up a first-round pick, and you actually got to give away the running back who was basically just sitting there with a relatively high cap number, and you just gained like a top three wide receiver in the entire league.
Yeah, it's hard to not view that as a total victory for the Cardinals. Again, I think we share thoughts on Steve Keim as GM. I didn't think he'd ever be able to pull off a trade like that ever in his career.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Keim in a matter of two off seasons went from being in danger of losing his job to now, unless the team tanks this year, he's pretty safe.
Now, the one thing you did mention earlier, Hopkins not in a real offense, you said. And we can criticize Bill O'Brien all we want. I will say, the one thing that was really good for DeAndre Hopkins' fantasy value specifically, Bill O'Brien, especially last year, great job designing him, tons of route combinations, especially for last year with how poor the offensive line was playing, especially shorter routes for him. They really, really cognizant of getting him the ball in his hands. He had his lowest yards per reception of his career. But again, 150 targets, right? And that's something that throughout Hopkins' time with the Texans, Bill O'Brien has been peppering him with targets every time. He just, 192 in 2015. And it's never been that high, but it's been at least 150 every season. Do you think he can get to 150 targets in Arizona?
I don't think he'll get 150. I think he'll probably be around 120, 130. I think that's where he tops out. And that's just because the type of offense that Cliff Kingsbury prefers. It's very much similar to, it's an air raid offense, a run and shoot style offense. So they'll spread the ball around, and especially with the weapons they now have in Arizona, you expect them to kind of move the ball around a lot more. That said, I don't have any doubts that he will be the feature receiver, and you can expect, especially Cliff Kingsbury this offseason leading up to the season, he's probably already kind of reworked some of his route combinations to just make sure that, D-Hop can actually get more touches.
I guess part of the air raid spreading out is you're not always leaving it. I mean, it's not always up to the quarterback in the sense of, if someone's wide open, you kind of have to go to them, right? Like, the defense will dictate who the targets should go to on most plays. But you do get the sense where if, you know, if Hopkins is one-on-one, does Kyler Murray strike me as someone that he's going to make him his primary read if he can seize him in one-on-one coverage all the time?
Definitely. You think about what Kyler Murray did at Oklahoma. You know, he had obviously his favorite receivers. And then also when you just kind of look at the offense in general, it is kind of a, you know, you have one or two reads for the most part, and those are the guys you're going to go to. But when you have someone like Kyler Murray who can keep the play alive, then it just becomes having someone of, you know, Hopkins' talent and his ability. You know, you know that they're going to be linking up. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald towards the end of the year last year became a big-time favorite of Kyler Murray. So you can always assume from that someone who's even younger, faster, and even probably more athletic than Larry Fitzgerald is going to kind of take over the mantle of being the number one receiver.
Because Fitzgerald did still lead the team in targets last year, 109 to 108 for Christian Kirk, so they did close. Now, Kirk only played 13 games, so he has a fully healthy season. I think we all presume that Christian Kirk would have been the leading receiver for the Cardinals last year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Kirk is one of those weapons that fits well in that type of an offense. No, he's a guy who can stretch the field, but he roams very much in the middle of the field between, you know, 5 yards all the way to about like 15 or 20 yards. So very much that intermediate guy in the middle, and he's perfect in that role. He was like that at Texas A&M. You know, he was like that in high school when he played he was in Arizona, so he played in high school, very similar type of offense. So he probably would have been the main target if he had been healthy throughout the whole season.
But now, and this is where the big question comes in, because, again, both had over 100 targets. With Hopkins coming in, and you're saying 120, 130, which, again, from a guy that's been routinely getting 150 or more, that's pretty reasonable, to be honest. So it's like, I don't see Hopkins getting less, personally, with his talent, considering how great of a receiver he is. I mean, you said it. I mean, you said maybe second or third best receiver in the league. I think there's a case that he is the best receiver in the league. Just his combination of route running, athleticism, the hands, the surest hands in the league, really. Some of the ridiculous catches he's made, and really strong receiver as well. Like, he can go up and make contested catches, so he's really good in the red zone for that reason too. So I don't see him not getting 120 targets, which to me tells me that either Kirk or Fitzgerald is going to fail to reach that 100 target mark. And I think there might even be a chance both do. I think because it was really just the two of them that could be trusted last year. A bunch of rookies that weren't able to kind of separate themselves. And I mean, tight end didn't seem like it was an important thing for the team last year. I doubt that changes this year. So Ryan, between the two, Kirk and Fitzgerald, which one do you think it's more likely that falls off?
Logically speaking, I think it's going to be Fitzgerald. And I think it's just more or less because, honestly, he kind of gets replaced, I feel like, with his skill set by Hopkins. And you can move him inside, but I honestly think that maybe he'll drop off. He might see about maybe 20 or 30 less targets. It honestly comes down to how I think the offense is going to run. If the offensive line is at all better, which they weren't bad last year, but if they're at all slightly better, then I do think there's going to be a lot more attempts each game, even though, you know, obviously they have a run game now. But I do think that it'll be Fitzgerald, but I don't think it's going to be by a lot. And I do think that Christian Kirk is easily going to be a 100-target guy.
But you're still saying, you know, Fitzgerald maybe getting 80 targets, maybe 90. He's still going to be the number three target on that team.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the number three guy. I think you're going to see him a lot of times, you know, red zone, third down type guy. You know, if anything like third and maybe under 6 or 7 yards, he's still going to be definitely that target because he's just that good still. At his age, he's just still an amazing wide receiver. But yeah, I don't see him being top one, you know, maybe the top two guy. I don't see him being the top two guys.
Kayla actually just tested me about this. Larry Fitz, how do we feel about him? Is he going to bounce back and have a big season, or is he going to be like what he had last year, or is he going to regress? Like, how are we feeling about him?
I think he'll have about the same season, if not actually slightly better. And I say that because the early part of the year, it was very much hit or miss with that offense. And a lot of it came down to the fact that you had Kyler Murray very, you know, obviously very young, you know, rookie, brand new in that offense. You know, and you had Cliff Kingsbury trying to figure out how to run his offense properly in the NFL. So I think with a full year together, I still think he'll put up a pretty decent year. I don't think he's going to be near 1,000 yards. I think he's going to be around like 750 yardage wise. But I still see him going and catching close to, you know, double digit touchdowns, still having at least like 60 or 70 receptions.
Because, I mean, I look at the numbers last year. So 75 for 804, that doesn't put him too far off the pace. Only 4 touchdowns last year, though, right? And you're saying maybe if nothing else, Hopkins, so much attention. He's going to draw so much attention in the red zone, especially probably, that it'll leave Fitzgerald open for big touchdown numbers.
Yeah, and I think a big part of the red zone struggles, honestly, last year was just the entire offense was bad in the red zone, especially in the beginning part of the season. And I think a lot of that just came down to Cliff Kingsbury having to realize how to run his offense in the NFL in the red zone. Towards the end of the season, they got a lot better. You saw that progression against teams like even San Francisco, a lot of better defenses where they were able to kind of do what they wanted to do for the most part. So I that's the biggest reason why I think he's going to have a little bit more touchdowns, maybe not as much yardage, but definitely an increase in just like, you know, basically 4 or 5 touchdowns.
All right, time to get to my question. You guys did not draft any wide receivers. You actually picked up 2 guys, UDFA, 1 guy from Cincinnati, 1 guy from Hawaii. Are any of those guys, well, who is the dark horse wide receiver that you think is going to have a little bit of a breakout year on this team? I'm going to stick with wide receivers only because I know you got Christian Kirk, Keyshawn Johnson, and Andy Isabella, but you also got some new guys that you brought in. Do you think any one of those guys is going to burst out the gate and establish themselves, or do you think they're just going to be putt-putting along? Like, who's the dark horse here?
Before Ryan answers that, I will say, just on the dynasty football community as a whole, would be really insulted that you didn't mention Hakeem Butler in that, even though I know he was hurt the whole year, didn't produce, but...
The whole community's named Kyle.
Well, I mean, I know some people who had him as wide receiver 1 in that class before the draft. So, I mean, Hakeem Butler, and especially in the dynasty community, it was quite fathomed with him last year. So, again, just want to make sure his name was mentioned. I don't know if Ryan's about to mention it, but I wanted to say it. So, go ahead, Ryan, answer the question. I shouldn't interrupt it. I should be a better host.
Honestly, I mean, you guys actually mentioned 2. First was actually going to be Hakeem Butler. Before they got Hopkins, he was someone that I thought would settle in as like the number 2 wide receiver by the end of the 2020 season. Now it's a little bit up in the air because of the fact that you have, you know, Hopkins, Fitzgerald, Kirk is the top 3. But I honestly, I felt that he was going to be a sleeper last season before he got injured. Just his athleticism, the way he was able to do things and produce with subpar, I guess, staff or you know, surrounding cast, you know, at Iowa State. So he was definitely something, and he is someone that I think he's gonna, you know, bounce back this year, especially missing the entire year last year. Andy Isabella, towards the end of last season, he seemed to finally get playing time. A lot of people, you know, you looked at him in college and he looked very talented, but they were moving him around from being an outside receiver to an inside receiver. It took a while for him to kind of get on the field. But once he was on the field, you saw how explosive he could be. So I think this year, I'm leaning more towards Isabella because of, and I hate saying this, but the redundancy almost of like the skill set that Hakeem Butler has, because you have 2 guys ahead of him that already kind of do the same things and can do the same thing. But Isabella's, you know, a guy that is very shifty, very quick, perfect for that type of an offense. And I think he's going to be seeing the field a lot more this year. So he would probably be my first choice if I had to pick up a breakout star at the wide receiver position.
It's fun to see who is dark horse wide receiver here because, I mean, you got 2 big names with Larry Fitz, the dependable guy who has literally more tackles than drops in his entire career. And you got it's more like catcher's mitts for hands, DeAndre Hopkins, who catches everything pretty much thrown his way and just goes and just blows it out of the water. So, I mean, you got to find a 3rd guy overall because there's always a 3 guy. I mean, last year they had 2 guys above 500 and 7 guy, or excuse me, not 7, 2, 4, 5 guys above 200 and 7 guys above 150. So, I mean, His air raid offense looks like it needs to go up a little bit and can go nowhere but up. I mean, they made some changes in the offensive line, and they made some changes on defense. I mean, you guys did draft Josh Jones in the third round, and you got some trench help on the opposite side of the ball. You got some linebackers, and you have Eno Benjamin, which try and get back to fantasy relevance. I mean, with Eno Benjamin there, do you think that he could be the backup job, or do you think this is like a committee, or is it Kenyon's straight job to lose, or how do you see this system working itself out?
Honestly, you know, I'll start with saying that I'm a big fan of Eno Benjamin, and I'll be honest, I'm an ASU guy, so that's why, you know, definitely love the guy. But looking at that roster, looking at that position group, you know, they basically got rid of David Johnson, so that opened up the door for Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. I think those are the two guys going in there who are going to be the running backs. I do think, especially with how Drake finished last season, you know, he's going to be the main guy. I honestly believe that because he just has the speed that neither of the other two have. He's just that much more explosive. That said, if I have to kind of break it down, I think you have maybe about 60 to 65% of the touches going to Drake, if not maybe pushing it up to 70, depending on how hot he is. And then Edmonds coming in for about 15 to 20%. And I do think if Benjamin can kind of solidify his role on the roster, because I honestly am not sure if he even makes the roster because of what's going on with everything in the current situation. If he is on the roster and they start using him, I think he's going to be a guy that they bring in for like some short yardage, some goal line stuff. You know, he's a very tough runner. He's not the biggest guy, but he's a very tough runner. And I think he is the toughest runner of the three, which is why I think he goes in for some of the short yardage stuff. So I still think it's Drake's job. And I do think he gets at least 2/3 of the carries. In terms of the passing game, that's going to be difficult because I think Edmonds might be the better like route runner and you know, receiving back. That said, I don't think Benjamin is near in either of the two. So when it comes down to just carries, then definitely like maybe like a 70-20-10 split. But when it comes to like the actual passing game, that's going to be a toss-up.
So, like, I mean, you know, Benjamin, looking at his characteristics, I mean, he's 5'9", 207-ish. I won't say ish because that's always going to fluctuate. And Chase Edmonds is 5'9", 210-ish. So, I mean, they're not far off. So, I mean, we all know it's Kenyon Drake's job because once he left Miami in a non-Adam Gase system, because I have to throw that in there because everyone wants to throw that there, but in a non-Adam Gase system, he exploded. I mean, he did actually really well. 151 touches, and he went for 643 yards, 8 touchdowns. He kind of exploded out when he went to the system. So I was just wondering if it's Drake's job to lose, or he's not going to lose it, barring any injury. Because Chase Edmonds has always been an iffy kind of guy for me, and I didn't know if Eno Benjamin could come in and start almost immediately / just get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Drake's job to lose. The only way I can see him really losing out on touches is if he starts playing really poorly, you know, maybe, you know, having a case of the fumbles, or like you mentioned, he gets hurt. In terms of who backs him up, I do think maybe Benjamin can push for that second job. You know, he's definitely a talented running back. And, you know, coming out of ASU, especially this past season, part of the reason why I believe he wasn't drafted as high as he should have been was because going into the year, he was the main focal point of the offense. There was, you know, there was no more N'Keal Harry at ASU. There was no more really talented wide receivers. Brandon Ayuk ended up becoming a big factor that season, but the defenses early on just keyed on Benjamin and forced them to do anything. So I think that hurt his draft stock. I think that if he had had a normal season that he had previously, I think he would have been drafted a lot higher. That said, I do think overall he can be the second back. I don't think he's going to take the job from Drake unless, you know, Benjamin just completely just shows up and just completely takes over every time he's on the field.
Well, looking at the numbers, so last year Drake In the 8 games he played for the Cardinals, 123 carries. So I extrapolated out, that's 246 on the season. Now, they ran 396 times last year combined. So that's Kyler Murray and the running backs. So those type of numbers, that puts Drake at 62%. So, I mean, like from what you're saying, Ryan, 250 carries for Drake is within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I honestly believe that if they do focus on the run, and I say that because I feel like a lot of the runs last year, especially with Murray, were kind of out of broken plays, and a lot of it came from him leaving the pocket earlier than he had to. Just from watching the beginning, or at least the first half of the season versus the second half of the season, you could see him be a lot more settled in the pocket, stayed in the pocket a lot longer, a lot less, you know, running around. So I do think they'll have a lower amount of total runs on the year this coming season. But I do think Drake is easily a guy who can be north of 200 carries easily. You know, someone who goes up to about 215, 220. I don't know if he's going to get up to 250, but I definitely see them being at least a guy who gets, you know, 220, 225.
And again, the 35 targets in his games with the Cardinals last year. So obviously, you know, in half a season, so double that to 70. You said maybe that doesn't come, maybe that's where he won't see as much, especially if they're giving him that many carries. They may not want him running as many routes. Like they may allow Edmonds or Benjamin to do that. So, is it possible that he gets to 70 targets, or do you think that's asking for a lot, especially if he gets over 200 carries?
Honestly, that's kind of the big question mark, at least in my mind, because we've only seen small parts, small pieces of what Drake can do, because, you know, obviously he's only with the team for about half the season. So just kind of, you know, playing the numbers, that's definitely possible. Whether or not he's actually able to do that because of the grind that he's going to have to go through, you know, playing San Francisco twice a year, playing, you know, the Rams' tough defensive front, playing against the, you know, the Seahawks, and then having to face those tough defenses in just like their own division, if he can make it through the year without really any injuries, then definitely he's a guy who's going to be, I honestly think he's a guy who could put up, you know, 1,000 yards rushing and at least, you know, 500 yards receiving. So I think he's going to, you know, be close to the 70 attempt mark at the very least.
Yeah, okay. And I'm just looking at Drake's career. He had, last year, combined between his time with the Dolphins and the Cardinals, he had 220 total touches between the 170 carries and the 50 receptions, which that would be a career high. So I guess we are kind of talking about him in numbers that are, in terms of opportunity, higher than he's ever gotten. But again, the way this offense is set up, it does kind of take advantage of his skill sets. Knowing, again, and this is knowing what I know about Kenny and Drake, so correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, a spread out offense, you know, having less defenders in the box allows him to kind of use his shiftiness and speed, not quite in space, but, you know, probably won't be facing very many stack boxes in his time. So I think that the offense that he's in probably really helps and suits Drake's skill sets really well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely just seeing how he was used last year when they brought him in. Because they spread that offense out, you know, and because it forces the defense to kind of play the numbers, you know, you have six guys in the box on average. You know, you might have, and even then, those six guys may not be your normal people that you would think in run situations. So you might have more pass rushing specialists on the field, maybe, you know, an extra safety instead of the extra linebacker. So definitely it works in his favor. And just looking at last season, how well he did in the short time he was with the team, it definitely points to a guy who could very well, you know, turn in a very good season this year as the, I won't say like the, you know, he's definitely going to be the lead back, but definitely someone who's going to get the bulk of the carries, the bulk of the playing time.
So this is a question that we're not necessarily going to ask every episode, but I think when the opportunity arises, these type of scenarios are really interesting because, you know, very well, there may be this might be a decision that fantasy managers have to make. So I'm looking at average draft position right now in PPR leagues, according to Fantasy Football Calculator. Right now, Kenyon Drake is a first round pick going at 110 overall on average. DeAndre Hopkins, not that far behind, 204. So on average, that's only about six spots. So they're going pretty close to each other in drafts. So my question to you, Ryan, with given you know that scenario where you've got both Drake and Hopkins on the board, who would you prefer to take between the two?
That's tough. I mean, you know, logic dictates I typically take the running back first, just because it's, you know, they're the guys who get, you know, they're the points hoarders and stuff. So I lean towards taking Drake first, but just knowing that offense and knowing the type of player that Hopkins is, it's hard for me to say that, you know, with 100% certainty. I mean, I probably would select Drake before I selected Hopkins. Now, depending on, you know, how the league's drafting at that point, depending where what spot I'm at, then it might, you know, push me more towards being someone who picks Hopkins. But if it was just a conventional draft and, you know, I don't have any wild cards there that are kind of making some crazy selections, then I'd probably go with Drake before Hopkins.
All right, Alessandro, care to chime in on that one, the Drake-Hopkins debate?
First off, who the hell drafts Kenyon Drake in the first round?
Apparently a lot of people are right now.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Kenyon Drake's a good football player. He's going to get you the production. He's going to get you the numbers. But, I mean, there's so many guys that I would take ahead of him. And he's going, you know, with guys like Mike Evans, Kevin Galladay. There's guys I would take ahead of him.
So, I mean, okay, I think that answered the question, right? Because then that makes you pretty clearly on Hopkins, right? Because Hopkins is going early in the second, usually. So
I'll take Hopkins in the first or the second, depending on how I want to set up my draft and if I could get him. So I would take Hopkins for Kenyon Drake because Hopkins, I know, is a very good, dependable wide receiver. They will get me the numbers and the touchdowns I need. Kenyon Drake had a boom year coming from Miami to Arizona. Unless I need to see him a full year. So, like, I'll give him a mulligan this year, but I need to see him a full year in this offense, in this system, before I'll go in and buy into the second-round hype on Kenyon Drake.
Okay, so clear answer from Alessandro there. Yeah, and again, I think Ryan made a good point in terms of, okay, what is the position? Like, where are we drafting? You know, where you are in drafts. And again, looking at, okay, so let's say you're at 110 where Kenyon Drake is going. I think at that point in the draft, I'd much rather go Kenyon Drake simply because my thinking there is if I take a running back, I can be flexible and I can go with another running back if there's great value on my second pick, or I don't know, you'd stack Hopkins with Drake. I wouldn't want to stack a running back and a wide receiver on the same team, but, you know, maybe a different wide receiver. Maybe I'm just looking at ADP. Maybe you go Chris Godwin there instead. So I would go Drake simply because that offers you flexibility with your second pick. Whereas if you take Hopkins, unless you are in a zero running back approach, then at which point you're still kind of set on a certain path. But I mean, you know, if knowing how I draft, if I were to take Hopkins at 110, I have to go running back at the 203. I would, especially the way this year, it seems like with all the running backs going so early, or at least all the presumed workhorse running backs going so early, I think I would have to. So given the choice between the two, I would draft Drake over Hopkins. In terms of, I will agree with Alessandro, 110 does seem a little early for me. Going ahead of Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Miles Sanders, Clyde Edwards-Helaire now that Damian Williams isn't there, I think I'd rather have all of them over Drake personally. So I do have Drake in a couple leagues, but they're in, you know, contract leagues or dynasty leagues. I already had him. I haven't drafted him yet this year in either startups or redraft. So, you know, as much as I do like having both, I don't know that I'm going to get much Drake or Hopkins personally. So hopefully that helps the listeners, right? but, you know, providing context, that's what we're here to do. And really appreciate Ryan for stopping by. Again, Ryan Adverterata, everyone. I just love saying your last name so much. It sounds so great.
No, I'm actually, I appreciate you are able to say it as well as you are. It's I grew up where that was a very rare trait. So it's always nice to hear someone be able to say it where it rolls off their tongue.
It's funny because I feel like I get so many people's names wrong. And it's the one that apparently everyone else gets wrong that I got right. And I'm pretty sure the first time I talked to you, I tried it once and I got it, nailed it. So I'm like, okay, good. Remember it. Don't ever forget it. But you're right. It does roll off the tongue nicely.
Wait. How do you say your last name?
It's Adverterata.
Averada.
Close. That's very close.
I don't know. I don't know that the Hawaiian heritage means you have to roll that R as much as you would an Italian or a French name.
Yeah, sorry, I got an Italian name. No, so it's Averada.
It's Adverterada.
Adverterada. Gosh. I did it again. Listen, man, my full name is Alessandro Senator. But if I said the full name, ooh, then I start rolling some stuff.
We're rolling a little longer than episode 2 if we go through the full name. But So Ryan is actually in a really unique position because he's managing editor for both the Cardinals and 49ers. So we are looking forward to having Ryan back for the 49ers episode later on in this series. So first off for that, so you've got a lot of work to plug apparently, Ryan. So why don't you first off let people know where they can find and follow you, and secondly, if there's any recent work you've done that you really want to show out there for the people.
You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Adverterada. You can also follow both of the accounts at FPC49ers, also at FPC_Cardinals. Definitely go ahead and give us a follow. Honestly, everyone's been doing great this summer. I took a little time off just because, you know, with everything going on, it got a little crazy with the job moving to work from home. So that was a little interesting. But, you know, we're kind of getting ready, getting in gear to kind of take a look at the rosters in the next couple of weeks as hopefully training camp goes without a hitch. So, you know, fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, we're hoping. We're hopeful here, here on the Full Press Fantasy Pod, at FPC_Fantasy Pod for us. Check out all our recent episodes. Again, just finished our whole tier series, so you can go back and talk about certain player tiers at all the positions as we, you know, kick off this, our 2020 team series now, going from one series to the other here. So, again, thanks for joining us. You can follow myself, Kyle Senra, at Senra Says. Alessandro's at AM_Senator, and Kayla Morton, not here right now, but at NorthTheKayla74. Also download the Full Press Coverage app for Apple or Android. Yeah, it's free on all stores, so go get that to get access to all the great written content, including all of Ryan's great written content, but all the written content available on Full Press Coverage. You get access to all the podcasts, access to the Full Press Radio Network, so you'll never miss a thing with the Full Press Coverage app. So once again, Ryan Adverterada, again, love the name. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been fun.
Alessandro, any final words?
I won't get your name right. I really will.
So apparently something to look forward to the rest of the series. Will Alessandro get this name right? Well, maybe you'll find out next time on the Full Press Fantasy Pod.